Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. Well, today we have a program that is packed with content, and we're going to be talking about the power grid. Have you considered what would happen if the power went out? Well, this threat of the attack on our power grid is more real than it's ever been in our history. And we're going to be talking today that if our power goes out, it will affect 17 of our most critical infrastructure sectors. We're talking about water, chemicals, food and agriculture, healthcare. Just to mention a few, financial services, the entire nation would be shut down. And some reports are that we would lose 80% of the population within the first year. Also in our Connect the Dots moments, we're going to be bringing in Ted Koppel, who just wrote a book called Lights Out. But before we do, let's watch what the Associated Press just put together in their investigative report regarding the power grid. Let's join.
Power stations are often surrounded by security fencing and guarded by round-the-clock patrols. But the real danger may not come from a physical attack on a facility, but through cyber attacks on the connected sites by hackers thousands of miles away.
We're seeing people looking for vulnerabilities, people scanning to see what types of openings they can find.
Inside the nation's largest power grid operator, cybersecurity experts keep watch for intruders 24/7. An Associated Press investigation found that the networks running the U.S. power grid remain vulnerable, despite repeated warnings by cybersecurity experts and increased efforts to stop the attacks.
We're still in this era where everyone believes it's secure by default. And it's not.
AP has learned that nearly a dozen times in the past decade, foreign hackers have gained remote access to networks that run the grid, which supplies power to the military, mass transit, businesses, and millions of Americans. While none of the intrusions resulted in the catastrophic blackouts lasting days or even weeks, feared by the intelligence community, that possibility remains.
It's all real. It's all, there's lots of variables, lots of potentials that could happen.
Identifying the source of cyber attacks is notoriously difficult. But private firms have alleged that recent attacks launched against the U.S. power grid were carried out by hacking teams within Russia, China, and Iran, some with their government support. Even the Islamic State terrorist group is trying to hack American power companies, according to the Department of Homeland Security.
We are not where we need to be, and we are very, very focused on getting to where we need to be.
Homeland Security officials say public and private cooperation is key in fighting cyber attacks.
Our ability to assist in the protection of cyber systems depends upon our receipt of information.
Security experts say the country's power system is aging and outdated, never built with network security in mind, and fixes often take way too long.
In the case of a large cyber attack on the U.S., we can't be calling up vendors and having them say, sorry, it's going to take us 8 months to get this patch.
But experts believe hackers may have already infiltrated networks that control parts of the grid, even if they have not yet used that access to turn off the lights. Haven Daily, Associated Press, San Jose, California.
amazing. 12 times already in 10 years, we've been infiltrated by foreign hackers. Russia, China, Iran. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to discuss Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, and what Chuck Todd of Meet the Press just brought up with his panel. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get back from this break. Steve, if you didn't know, we are living in some serious, serious times. And I want to go quickly to Chuck Todd from Meet the Press as he just kind of throws it out there. He had Ted Koppel on the program and he says, Ted, we didn't even mean to discuss this with you, but let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. Watch this.
Endgame time, and the panel is here. Ted, we had you on and, for a bunch of other reasons, not for the topic of your book. But we should, because it's a topic I feel like politicians will tell you is important, cyber terrorism. But they don't know how to talk about it in the campaign trail.
The problem is everybody is worrying about explosive vests and people with AK-47s. We live in a day and age when someone's sitting in Somalia or in Chile or in Perth, Australia, can be sitting there with a laptop and theoretically can take down one of our power grids or part of our infrastructure and do infinitely more damage. Nobody talks about that. It's not a question of who comes into the United States. We're way past that.
You know, it's interesting, though. Remember, Anonymous. What do you make of Anonymous?
The going after
ISIS.
It's beautiful. I like it.
Yeah?
I will tell you who does talk about this. With the Wall Street Journal, we talk to business people a lot. Business leaders are very worried. Obsessed about this topic.
Yeah. I mean, the J.P. Morgan, for example, has now spent about $1 billion on cybersecurity. Hasn't done them a whole lot of good.
Well, and all of us work at media companies that are also panicked about this.
Absolutely. It's not just the media companies, though. The government is hugely panicked. The Pentagon has had, you know, hack attempts, and they've been very, very concerned.
But we've also used it aggressively ourselves.
Well, Keith Alexander, the former director of the NSA, likes to say every company in the United States falls into one of two categories: those that have been hacked and those that don't yet know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's a little...
Where is this headed and where is this going? Listen, I want to bring to you a connect the dots moment. This is when we bring a past segment where we discussed sometime in the past what is happening right now in our present. And we're going to be talking about, you're going to be hearing Greg share about Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out. This is a revelation as to what is presently happening with our power grid and what is not happening in terms of security. Watch this.
Today we're going to be talking about Lights Out, a nation of a power grid hit with a cyber attack, a nation unprepared in the aftermath. Ted Koppel's brand new book, and this so lines up what the Lord has been telling us prophetically in regards to what's coming to America. Let's go right now to a piece of an interview with Ted Koppel where he's being interviewed by Charlie Rose talking about this new book. We've got to be prepared. This thing is about to hit any moment now potentially, according to the prophetic words, and now even Ted Koppel, the journalist. Take a look.
When the lights go out, we usually know why.
Hurricane Sandy coming ashore on the East Coast.
Mother Nature is at it again. Most of the time, we manage to get through it. But what if the power went out in a number of states, affecting millions of people for weeks, even months?
As you were researching this, did you personally find yourself getting frightened?
I think frightened is a little bit too strong, but maybe I should have been. Yes, it's frightening. It is frightening enough that my wife and I decided we were going to buy enough freeze-dried food for all of our kids and their kids.
In his book, Lights Out, veteran journalist Ted Koppel paints a grim picture of a paralyzing power outage in the form of an all-out cyber attack on the nation's electrical grid.
Who are the potential perpetrators here? Who do we have to fear the most? Is it Russia, China, Iran, terrorists, individual actors?
All those. The interesting thing, Chip, is the ones who are most capable are the ones least likely to do it.
There are some experts who say they're already in.
Oh, they are in.
They are in.
There is no question about it.
They're into our grid.
They are already in the grid. I was told that by the former chief scientist of NSA. He stated categorically the Russians are in, the Chinese are in. The Iranians may be on the verge of getting in. And then at the bottom of the capability scale are folks like ISIS, terrorist groups.
The power grid is the system interconnecting North America's supply of electricity. If one area has particularly heavy demand, power from another region can sometimes serve as backup. The downside to all this? If a hacker manages to take down an entire grid, a huge portion of the country, along with parts of Canada, could go down with it. The primary reason? Like so much else these days, the grid relies heavily on the internet.
We have a sort of a joke in our security industry that there's no secure system. The only secure one is unplugged, turned off, and buried under 6 feet of concrete.
Larry Pesci should know. He's a cybersecurity consultant who gets paid to find glitches in business computer networks. In other words, he's a hacker who works for the good guys.
In the last 6 years, you know, of me doing testing full-time, there has never been a customer that we've been to that we have not gotten in.
At 5:28 Tuesday evening, give or take a few seconds, an estimated 30 million people in the northeastern United States were plunged into an eerie blackness.
Wide-scale outages are nothing new. In 1965, a huge blackout in the Northeast left more than 30 million without power for almost 13 hours.
New Yorkers have taken it in stride, have they, as far as you've been able to see?
No, they haven't.
You gotta ask them that.
In 1977, New York City was plunged into darkness again, this time resulting in looting and other crimes.
There have been massive power outages, blackouts.
And in 2003, overgrown trees were partly to blame for a blackout that affected 8 states and part of Canada, some 50 million people. That one lasted up to 4 days in some areas. But our next electric failure could be just a keystroke away.
I'm not sure I know why it hasn't happened yet. It's definitely not for, you know, not for lack of capability on various parts, whether it be us or an enemy. I think it comes down to timing, and I think we need to make the right people mad at the right time.
You would think the one entity that would be ready for something like this is the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
Are they ready?
No. I mean, I've talked to every former Secretary of Homeland Security, and they all acknowledge there is no plan.
He says the current secretary, Jay Johnson, didn't offer much guidance either.
You described the conversation as prickly at one point.
Well, it got prickly because I kept asking, what's the plan? Why wait until disaster strikes? Why not tell him, do you have a plan? And he just sort of pointed up at a shelf filled with white binders, and he said, look, I'm sure there's something up there somewhere.
We wanted to find out for ourselves, but both the White House and the Department of Energy declined our requests for an on-camera interview. The Department of Homeland Security also refused to speak on camera. Instead, we were given a statement, which reads in part, to be clear, the Department of Homeland Security has a plan. We, along with the Department of Energy, coordinate national efforts to strengthen the security and resilience of the electric grid. We also work with energy sector partners to promote the security and resilience of the grid through myriad activities both seen and unseen. Next, we reached out to some of the big electric companies. They refused to speak with us as well.
Ted Koppel says the government basically has no plan. Is he right?
No, he's not right.
So we turned to Paul Stockton, a former Defense Department official whose duties included cybersecurity.
The government is building plans very, very quickly now to help manage the consequences of an attack on the grid, but also to make sure that government systems are more resilient against attack.
Are the power companies today prepared to respond to a large-scale cyber attack on the grid?
Power companies today are strengthening their ability to respond to an attack and restore power more quickly.
Still, Stockton admits,
their readiness is not where it needs to be, given that the adversary continues to strengthen the sophistication of the weapons that will be used against the United States.
That will be used against the United States. If you have not yet signed up for the VFN Torch newsletter that comes to you, we have a gift for you called the Prudent Preparation that will come to you to prepare you for what Ted Koppel's talking about. We have so much more we want to talk about. Today, we're focusing on what's going to potentially happen to our power grid and what God said specifically to Steve Kalaszewski, you see on our program, in a prophetic dream that he got. Join us after the break.
This is so good, so timely. Let's go back and let's join Greg right now.
We're talking about Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, and Surviving the Aftermath. As you heard, that they said we're prepared so we're working on dealing with the aftermath of it. What's going on? There's an interview, part of an interview with Charlie Rose, where he talked specifically how Congress is speaking about it as well. This is really going to inform you and hopefully prepare you for what we're going to tell you about, which God talks about being ready. You need to have about 90 days of preparation at a minimum to be ready for what's coming our way. Let's go there now.
Here he was, the anchor and managing editor of ABC's Nightline for 25 years. This is embarrassing to read. He has received 42 Emmys and 8 Peabody Awards, among many other honors, in a long and distinguished career. His new book is called Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. It considers the possibility and impact of a cyber attack on the U.S. power grid. The Senate passed its most significant cybersecurity bill yesterday. Senator Harry Reid cited Koppel's book in his remarks last week about the need for this legislation.
It was 3 years ago this month that then Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta warned the United States of a potential cyber Pearl Harbor. Cyber Pearl Harbor, direct quote. A cyber Pearl Harbor would be crippling. It would be a cyber attack on our nation's banks, power grid, government, and communications network. If it sounds scary, that's because it is scary. Cyber terrorists could potentially bring the United States to its knees. This potentiality is upon us. A catastrophic cyber attack is not far-fetched. Ted Koppel, the renowned journalist, has written another book. And the author reveals that our nation's power grid is extremely vulnerable to cyber terrorism. Imagine the toll of these attacks. Massive power blackouts. No telephone, no internet capability. And that's on your cell phones or whatever phones exist. Overwhelm first responders. And an infrastructure system reduced to chaos.
I am pleased to have Ted Koppel back at this table. He is a great and dear friend, and I am pleased, A, that he's written a book that calls the nation's attention to what it's urgently required to do to avoid a cyber attack. And I start with that notion of what caused you to come to this book.
Essentially what Harry Reid was talking about there. I kept hearing smart, important, high-ranking people from the president on down. I mean, the president has twice warned about the danger of a cyber attack on the power grid in his State of the Union address. Nothing in the press the next morning. Yeah. The reference that Harry Reid made to then-Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. Here's the Secretary of Defense talking about the danger of a cyber Pearl Harbor. The next
meaning
day,
the surprise attack on America will not come as it has in the past. It will be over the Internet.
Over the Internet, and it will be infinitely more damaging, potentially, than Pearl Harbor was. No response. Nothing. I mean, I think there was a small item in the Wall Street Journal. There was a small item in the New York Times. And so I just sat down and said to myself, I wonder what plans, if any, have been made for the civilian population. So I picked up the phone and I called the Red Cross, and I picked up the phone and I called the Department of Homeland Security, and I picked up the phone and I called FEMA. And I got stuck in one phone tree after another. And I mean, my first reaction was, nothing's going on right now. There is no crisis. If I can't get through to any one of these agencies in a time of absolute calm,
panic,
No panic. In a time of no panic, how am I going to get through to
during a time of panic?
Exactly, during a time of panic. So then eventually you get through the phone tree, you find a human being. And the human being refers you to a website. And you go look at that website, and you can do it. Any one of your viewers can do it tomorrow. Look at the website for FEMA. Look at the website for Department of Homeland Security, Red Cross. And they cite every possible disaster that could befall the human race. I mean, an earthquake, a tornado, a hurricane, a blizzard. Everything but, you know, death of the firstborn. Is there one word about the possibility of a cyber attack? There is not. Nothing. And every one of these references they make talks about having preparations for 2 or 3 days of food, 2 or 3 days of water, 2 or 3 days of your medicine. Problem is, a cyber attack could knock out the power grid for months, affecting tens of millions of people. We need a plan. This is not a partisan issue. I mean, Harry Reid ought to be able to reach across the aisle there and talk to the folks. He and Mitch McConnell ought to be able to sit down and say, we really have to do something.
If there's anything that ought to go beyond partisanship, this would be it.
This would absolutely be it.
A threat to the nation.
A threat to the nation. And it is. Mm-hmm.
So you then, so you knew there was a question. Why are we so unprepared for a cyber attack, especially on the electric grid?
Well, at that point, my question was, I wonder if the federal government has a plan. And so I began talking to people.
Because you see no evidence of it so far.
I see no evidence.
Right.
So, you know, I started talking to folks, started doing interviews, and I talked to every one of the secretaries of Homeland Security, beginning with Tom Ridge and going through to Jay Johnson. And the ones who have left office were actually quite frank to admit, you know, something, there is no plan. There's no plan. Jay Johnson acted as though there might be a plan, but he's been too busy to really figure it out. He sort of gestured to some folders up on the shelf of his office and said, I'm sure there's something in there somewhere. But if fundamentally, when you say to him, but what are you going to recommend to the American public? It was, get some batteries for your battery-powered radio.
All right. Walk through the process of how it might happen, and how would the attack come about, and what would be the consequences if one of the electric grids was compromised?
Well, let's start with the end. If one of the electric power grids was compromised, there would be no light, no cooling, no heating, no flow of water, no functioning toilets. In the cities, thousands of people would be stuck in elevators, but they'd get them out of the elevators eventually. But it could potentially be, I mean, I don't know, you live here in the city, right?
Yes.
How much food do you have at home? How long could you
almost
last?
Nothing for me, because I eat out every night.
Yeah. But a great many people in this city eat out or call out for food or have enough food in the house for 2 or 3 days. Very few people have enough food to last them for months. So I spoke to the then Secretary of Homeland Security for the state of New York. I said, how much food do you have? Oh, he said, well, we've got probably, I think he said, about 20 or 25 million MREs, meals ready to eat. And I said, that's for the state of New York, right?
He said,
right. Yes, exactly. You know, the city of New York, you're talking about 8 million people. Let's assume that the folks upstate can take care of themselves. 8 million people, 25 million meals. That's 3 meals per person. Let's say they limit themselves to 1 meal a day.
3 days.
3 days. What happens after that? No plan. There is no plan.
First question, though, is there any way to stop it? Or is it inevitable that this kind of attack will take place and we're going to have to deal with it?
Charlie, only a little more than a week ago, Admiral Mike Rogers, who's the director of the NSA, you probably read it in the Wall Street Journal. He addressed a Wall Street Journal conference. And he said, this is the head of the NSA, it is inevitable that there is going to be a cyber attack against our infrastructure. I talked to Lloyd Austin, General Lloyd Austin, who's the commander of CENTCOM. General Austin said to me, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Let me just make sure I'm saying what you're saying here. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when in that there will be a successful attack.
On our one of our cyber grids. We only have three cyber grids in the United States. The Eastern Interconnect, Texas has its own, then there's the West Coast.
Do we know if people have tried to attack the grids of the United States?
We know that they are already in the grid.
We know, but they haven't pulled the trigger.
They haven't pulled the trigger, and those that can do it, I mean, the good news, Charlie, is that those can do it, that can do it, the Chinese, the Russians, already have what amount to sort of like cyber landmines in the grid. And essentially, by hitting a key on a computer,
like a desktop,
somewhere, like a desktop computer, and it could be anywhere. It could be someone sitting in Ukraine. It could be someone sitting in Canberra. It could be someone sitting in Brooklyn. You don't know where they're going to be.
And this is, in fact, the horrifying possibility of the Internet.
Well, the horrifying possibility is twofold. One, the Internet was never designed to be defended. The Internet was designed, as one Army intelligence officer told me, so that professors could exchange good ideas, right? And it's almost impossible to completely defend something that was never designed to be defended in the first place, that was, in fact, designed to be open.
And everything that has been done so far in the short history of the Internet has been to expand its possibilities rather than defend its...
And, you know, I mean, in the final analysis, Charlie, when you look around and you say, wait a second, there are thousands of hacking incidents every day. They target industry. They target banks. They target companies like Target. They target the files of our intelligence agencies. They managed to get into the private email account of the CIA director, right?
Yeah.
It is, I think, careless for anyone to assume that we can do all of those things. All of those things are happening every day, but don't worry about what is fundamentally a poorly protected piece of infrastructure
So if it is inevitable, the question is, why is there no sense of emergency and urgency? Why?
Keith Alexander, who used
former
to be
head of NSA,
former head of NSA,
cyber.
Said, you know, it's kind of crude, but we're up to our ass in alligators. Yeah. We've got the ISIS alligator. Yeah. We've got the Syria alligator. We've got Iran alligator. We've got Iraq alligator. We've got Afghanistan alligator. And you're coming to me and saying, hey, I've got this other alligator over here that hasn't happened yet, but it might. And he said, in the Army, we have a special group and a special officer who's in charge of the future. What are the potential issues that we need to worry about? I'm not altogether sure, Charlie, that we have someone in our political system who is tasked with doing the same thing.
Yeah, but here's what I would suggest, maybe. It is that it has an increasing priority for them. I mean, Keith Alexander was head of NSA and head of, you know, the Cyber Command. That was the two jobs. And Mike Rogers has those two jobs today.
Right.
You know, and it is a priority for them now. It is a subject of great dialogue between the Chinese and the United States.
They certainly do, Charlie. Yeah. But remember, the NSA is in deep trouble in this country.
Right.
The NSA is perceived
of Edward Snowden.
Courtesy of Edward Snowden, and much of what Snowden reported turns out to be accurate.
Right.
The question we have to ask ourselves as patriotic American citizens is, are we more worried about having our privacy compromised by our own intelligence agencies or by the intelligence agencies of the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians?
And what do they want to do with the information?
Exactly. And in the final analysis, I think we may have to come to the conclusion that we've got to give the NSA a little bit of space. Now, you spoke...
This is the balance between privacy and security.
Absolutely. And you know, the irony is that groups like Google, for example, are out there saying, wait a second, don't try and control what we do with the information that we gather from your laptops, that you punch into your laptops because you don't really think about the fact that the information that you put into that laptop is then being used by a lot of these private companies to do what? To make money. They sell it then to other merchandisers.
Of course they did.
Right.
Well, but Apple makes a big point about that. That's their argument, you know, that they don't sell information, they sell products. That's Apple's argument, to try to separate themselves from Google. On the other hand, you know, the government and the FBI is very concerned about Apple because they encrypt the products in which they cannot access them. There is no back door.
No back door.
You know?
And yet, I mean, one of the interesting things is you've heard of the Black Hat Conference.
Yes.
It usually takes place in Las Vegas, and it's where all the hackers go and delight in pointing out to the various big companies. Siemens, for example, has all these SCADA systems that they create. A SCADA system, SCADA stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. Essentially, they run the computer system that keeps our energy grids in balance. You have to have a perfect balance between the production of energy and the consumption of energy. So Siemens makes a lot of these SCADA systems. Essentially, the same SCADA system is sitting in California as is sitting in Tehran.
Yeah.
They're sold all over the world. So Siemens says, we have this absolutely hack-proof password that only Siemens technicians can get into with these SCADA systems. And at one of these Black Hat conferences, one young man gets up and explains this and says, this is what Siemens says, and here is that password. And he proceeds to give it to her. So the Siemens had to send people all over the world to get into their back door there and change the password.
And re-trigger the password, So obviously, have you heard a word about this in the political campaign so far?
Yes, I heard one word from Jim Webb.
Oh, yes.
Who, of course,
no
is now
a candidate,
no longer a candidate. He sort of made a passing reference to the danger of cyber attacks, and nobody paid any attention to him whatsoever. And, of course, he's not in the campaign anymore. Okay.
One of the questions we always ask presidents, potential presidents, you know, is the famous, what if they got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, which was part of the Democratic debate in 2008 between Hillary and President Obama. But you outlined before we began this program a sense of what would a president do and how would he have to respond and what would be, you know, the presentation to a president if there had been an attack?
It's exactly the right question to ask. If we go back into the 1960s, when what we were worried about was the potential of a nuclear attack, we would have known exactly where that nuclear attack was coming from. The president wouldn't have had much time. Someone would have called the president and said, Mr. President, we got 28 minutes. They just launched, you know, the Soviets have just launched however many nuclear missiles, and they'll be impacting here in the next 28 minutes. And within those 28 minutes, the president would have then had to make a decision as to whether he wanted to launch a retaliatory attack. But he would have known exactly who was attacking and where the attack was coming from.
Today,
somebody walks into the president and says, Mr. President, someone has just knocked out the Texas power grid. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, they're all in the dark. It may be weeks or months before we can get it up again. And the president says, well, do you have any idea who did it? Well, sir, we believe we have 57% certainty that it came out of the Ukraine. And the president says, wait a second, you're telling me you've got 57% certainty. What am I supposed to do with that? And who exactly in Ukraine do you think did it? And are you absolutely confident that it originated in Ukraine? Or when you start back-channeling here, are you going to find out that actually it didn't originate in Ukraine? It was just passed through Ukraine, but it came from Santiago,
Pakistan,
Chile.
Pakistan or whatever,
And before Santiago, Chile, it came from Islamabad. And before Islamabad, someone appears to have had some connection with this in Brooklyn. And now the president says, and what exactly are you recommending that I do, and against whom? And his briefers sort of look at one another and say, we'll get back to you, Mr. President. Just remember...
Make sure you get back to me within...
within how much time? Yeah. You know what I mean? Just remember how much time it took when North Korea hacked into Sony Pictures. It was months before the FBI could say with any certainty
that it came from China.
That it came from North Korea.
From North Korea.
From North Korea. And even then, when they realized that it had come from North Korea, exactly what did we do? You know, we targeted a few individuals in the North Korean hierarchy, but I don't think anything that the United States did at that point, I don't know what they said privately, is going to discourage North Korea from doing.
Be sure that you go to PBS.org and watch that entire interview. Listen, this is so important because, you know, we are preparing you for a prophetic word that we've been sharing and going to share today about, you know, having your 90 days being ready. We call it prudent preparation. The Word of God says, you know, a prudent man sees danger. And Ted Koppel saying, I see danger. I see people saying there's danger, but I'm seeing people unprepared for it. His book says, Lights Out. A cyber attack, a nation unprepared, and surviving the aftermath. I ordered freeze-dried food for myself, for my kids, and for my kids' kids.
Wow.
That's what we've been talking about, and we're going to talk more about that. But prudent preparation, you can go to VFNTV.com, sign up for the VFN Torch newsletter at the upper right-hand corner, and immediately in your email you'll receive the ability to watch or listen to prudent preparation. You got to begin to think outside the box because, you see, not even our own leaders are even concerned about this reality. And it's almost, you're looking at the signs of our Lord's coming in every, this is amazing when you're looking at what we've been prophesying about for years, and now it's here. This is the moment, you know. Ted Koppel, through his research, it's good to hear a journalist that's concerned about America.
Yes, refreshing, isn't
it's
it?
Right, journalism. Yes. I think the interesting thing about Ted Koppel, and we got to go to this next segment so you can see it, but is that he became known on the scene because of Iran. It was the Iran hostages. They were held for 444 days, and that's when Nightline began.
Wow.
Now, here we are again with Iran, and who's on the scene? Ted Koppel's on the scene. And you think about that, the good thing that came about after the 444 days of hostage was a leader that began to lead the country. And the first thing that President Ronald Reagan did is he went and freed those hostages that this previous Jimmy Carter could not. And so, hey, you know, if it's all looking like that, maybe we have a leader on the horizon that's going to come and kind of set things straight again. If anything, Jesus is going to set us straight. But this is what the Lord is saying. This is why we wanted to be able to prepare you for this. This book just came out. I encourage you to get the book, read it, get some understanding about it, prepare for 90 days. But I want you to hear Steve Kalaszewski as he shares a prophetic dream that he was given, which lines up with all the things that we've been hearing, including Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, John, myself, and others that have been hearing the very same thing. Let's take a look. Joining me right now is Steve Kalaszewski. Steve, what did the Lord speak to you about this day? I mean, what did the Lord say to you?
Mm-hmm. I was actually driving my car, and I was
driving. This is a night vision, right?
Right. I was having a night vision, and I'm driving down a really steep hill.
Okay.
And I'm driving my car.
So you're going downhill.
Correct. Okay. And I can't apply the brakes. I'm unable to.
There's no brakes.
There's no brakes. But as I'm driving,
would you have wanted to apply the brakes?
Oh, very. Yeah, urgent.
You felt a sense that we need to slow this thing down.
Absolutely.
But you couldn't slow it down.
But it was almost like it was out of control. I was trying to steer it as best I could. I'm going down this hill.
Was the steering working well for you?
The steering was working okay, but I had to stay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there are animal carcasses.
Wait a minute. So you're on a road.
Right.
Where did this come from? Were you seeing this all along? Was God showing you this?
No, it was just instant.
Oh, suddenly they appeared.
Suddenly it was just happening.
Okay. And so dead animals.
They're everywhere. They're falling from the sky. They're on the road. And it was just kind of like trying to be mindful of everything, everywhere at the same
time. Almost
like
an explosion or something? I don't know if it was an explosion or a hurricane,
but it was just mindful of the fact that they were both on the road, but yet I didn't want to get hit by one that was falling.
Wow.
But yet, falling. I also didn't want to run into one as I'm driving.
What kind of animals are these?
You name it, it was there.
Like,
I mean,
cows,
giraffes, bulls.
Almost like the Ark, huh? Everything you can imagine.
Wow. Everything you can imagine. And as I'm driving, I'm so focused on the animals that are everywhere. All of a sudden, I just suddenly realize that at the bottom of this hill, there's a traffic intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm driving...
With no brakes.
And as I'm driving the bottom of the hill, all the traffic is going from my left to my right. And they are like... It is high-moving traffic.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, I'm realizing that, like, okay, I have to somehow merge with this traffic of just, like, what? How am I going to do this? And at the same time, I was like, all of this is going on, and you're having to pay attention to all this. I get to the bottom of the hill, and I just, with all I've got, I just turn the car as hard as I can and just merge with traffic, and we're going.
So you turn to the right.
I turn to the right,
mm-hmm.
and at the bottom of the hill, I finally get the car on the side of the road, and I get it on the shoulder, and somehow I stop the car.
How are you feeling at this moment?
I mean, my heart is pounding.
Almost beside yourself.
My heart is just racing.
Right.
I get to the shoulder, I stop
disaster.
The car. Right. Mm-hmm. Just pandemonium, mm-hmm. just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick up the phone and I call you,
mm-hmm.
and immediately, as before I even are able to say anything, as soon as the phone connects, you say, "Don't panic."
So I said, "Don't panic. This is a dream.
Don't panic.
Don't
right?
panic.
This is a dream." You said, "Don't panic. This is what God has allowed to happen to bring into the harvest.
This is what God has allowed to happen
mm-hmm.
to bring in the harvest."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you said, "You do have your 90 days, don't you?"
Wow.
Don't panic. That's exactly why we're sharing this with you today, and we feel timely
mm-hmm.
because we don't know when this could potentially happen. I mean, you got to think that we do have enemies and we have people that do want to do us harm. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, but you can be prepared today, you can prepare your family, and you can be prepared to continue to minister to those who are going to be in great need during a time like this. Well, we want to close out our program, as we do all of our programs, with prayer. We want to pray for you, and we encourage you to please pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have today, Lord, with our viewers. God, we thank you that you alert us to the things that are on the horizon, Lord, so that we can be prepared. So, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have wisdom in the times that we live, that we can prepare ourselves, our families, our neighbors, so that we don't have to suffer a potential attack. But more than anything, God, we pray that you would have mercy on America and that you would spare us all types of attacks on our nation. We pray, God, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, and thank you for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.